Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same thing.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
friend? A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk. We're coming in here, coming long and strong. Dave doesn't have a mic. You know, he's been gone already. And
yeah, punitive.
I can't even
remember. Punitive mic denial. Mike denial from Michael Kastler. Tech Talk Kastler here on Tech Talk, the show that you want to listen to if you want to know anything about and everything about computers.
That's it. That's it. This is the place, right here, right here.
Right.
And we've been living up to our hype the last several weeks. We had some great shows on, and we got some more coming up for you too. Today is no exception. We're going to have Jay Geek Trivia Garmin. He's going to come on and give us the answer to last week's question, which I'm really excited about because this is one of the ones I actually knew the answer to this time. So I was I nailed it right on.
You
right
mean
on
the
air.
Only one.
Right, the one. Yeah. The one that I knew the answer to.
Yeah.
And I nailed it right on air, too. I was real excited about that.
You said it on air?
Well, I didn't say the answer, but I gave a clue, which you'd have to be pretty deep. You'd have to pretty much know the answer for the clue to have had any assistance to you anyways.
Ah. You helped, but you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The question was, what famous science fiction author's name is present at the tail end of the Terminator, the original Terminator credits. And even though he had no writing, no contributory...
even though he didn't do anything, he got credit.
Exactly. Jay put it much better than I possibly could. And I nailed it right away. The clue that I gave, and I'm proud of knowing this too off the top of my head, was the clue that I gave was this is the same author who has a very famous quote, which is, if you stick your hand into my pocket, be prepared to pull back 6 inches of bloody stump. That's his, this is the guy.
Nice so one.
He's a character.
It's good for the family show.
Exactly. So we got Jay coming on to talk to us about that kind of stuff. And we've got some news, some views, some reviews, some great cool sites of the week last week. Oh, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about too, I had somebody tell me that one of the sites we talked about last week, I wasn't real clear on the website address, and I apologize as well. Typically, I put these things up and at it for the for the blog and the website. If you go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, you can chase that down. But I did not put it in this time. It's a really cool website. I've been having a blast with it this last week. It's really starting to come into its own. I think it's got some real great potential. It's wolframalpha.com, and that's wolf ram, like the two animals, a wolf and a ram, alpha, like alphabet.com. And go check that out. It's a new search engine, but it's an intelligent search engine. By that, I mean you wouldn't
people at Google like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
as opposed to, the
interesting thing is, yeah, it's not designed to compete with Google. It's really its own thing. And so you're not going to go there and type in, find me Pella Windows or something like that,
right.
You know, and find a place to buy stuff. You'd go in and put in something like, a mathematical calculation or compare population in Sri Lanka to Chicago. And it would actually develop a bunch of charts. It takes current information that's available. They say that it's got over a trillion data points available to it that it can pull. You can type in Round Lake Beach, Illinois. You know?
So it's a little like Alta Vista was years ago. Only an updated version of that.
Updated. Yeah. It takes some of the neater features that we've talked about with Google, like the mathematical mathematical calculation. You know, because Google, you can type in 250 times 15%. You know, and it'll respond with an answer. It'll give you an answer. Wolfram Alpha takes that to the next level.
Right.
To a whole nother level.
Yeah.
It goes right up the chain.
PowerPoint presentation and everything, and you know.
Yeah, just about. Yeah, yeah. Just about. And yeah.
You
keep digging in. It links you out to the Wikipedia cap. Massages your feet. You know, if you're into that kind of thing. It's a neat site anyway. So I mentioned it last week. I've been playing with it.
Very exciting, actually.
It really is. Yeah. And
it's kind of my job to make fun of what you say.
is that what your job description is?
Well, I didn't want to tell you before. This. It kind of slipped out.
I'm going to make a note of this in Evernote so I don't forget it ever.
Just a little bit. Give you a little bit of a hard time. So the listener, you know, doesn't feel overwhelmed by your brilliant magnificence.
Oh, yes. Okay, so that must be the other part of the job description is stroking Mike's ego so it'll keep coming back every week. Oh, now I see. Now
knock you down a little bit, build you up. That's my
game. You know, I think that's how it works at home, too. I think that's why my wife and I have been so successful as a married couple for so long.
I wouldn't doubt that Mary's got this down much better than I do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and we'll leave it alone. So we've got Jay coming in today. Now, next week, we're going to have actually a good friend of mine, Doug Bradbury. He's going to talk to us about the Software Manifesto, and which is
sounds serious.
If you've ever been, they're not ready to start the revolution quite yet. No. But if you've ever been, if you're a programmer,
geeks of Sandinista, you know, what would they have in those, you know, those ammo belts around their chest, like flash drives?
Oh, good, yeah. So a bunch of cables.
I saw they need this gadget. Bob the Broadcaster. I don't know if you know Bob the Broadcaster.
I do know Bob the Broadcaster.
He works on the Brown Box Show.
He's
a very kind of low key guy, and he was at the we did a remote from Richard's restaurant and bar. I was promoting Tech Talk out in public.
Oh, fantastic!
In the daylight.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But he showed
your face in the light and spoke the name Tech Talk.
Yeah, everything. I did. And told him how great you were and everything. He had a baseball cap with a headlight in it. With LEDs in the brim.
Oh, yeah.
He had three LEDs in the brim with a little switch. It was very...
So that is cool.
So that's what the geek Sandinistas would wear.
It's funny you mention that because my wife just very recently dissuaded me from purchasing. I was dead set. I wanted to get it's a headband strap with some high beam but focused LED lights. And the reason I wanted it is because
you wanted to be a Borg wannabe, right?
I wanted to look like the Borg. I was going to get the tattoo on the side of my face too, and she said. No, she said okay with the tattoo, but no head straps. I wanted to have the head strap as a reading light. I thought it would be great for a night reading light. It's one of these things that you can use. You're supposed to use it
geeks can't resist headlamps. by the way, it was George Lee's big gig. I made it sound like I was out. I was actually a tiny little ancillary part of George Lee's remote at Richard's.
Oh, yeah. They went to, what was it they were at? They were at
Richard's, a restaurant and bar.
Richard's restaurant and bar.
On 900 Rollins Road, we were there.
Fantastic. Where's our little bell? I wanted to go ding, ding, ding.
You just did.
So there we go. Yeah. Hey, I'll just make my own sound effects today. So you got that to look forward to.
So Software Manifesto.
The Software Manifesto, we're going to hear about that. Anybody that's been a programmer or been exposed to bad programming, this is the whole reason why the Software Manifesto exists. Doug's going to do a much better job explaining it than I could, but basically it's to set some rules and guidelines for how programmers should develop their code so that it's not only manageable and usable, or manageable and you know, that you can modify the code in the future so it can grow and expand and be flexible, but also too that it's very usable for the end user, and some basic tactics, and it goes
an open source initiative, or
it's not even related to the code that you use specifically. It's more a methodology, protocols and
standards
that they want to apply. Exactly. Yeah. So you know,
morals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know how moral. I guess. I mean, you could write great code and
tidiness.
Use it to
code tidiness. Yeah.
Documentation. Spiral flow as takes opposed to waterfall. Methodology.
It takes a little sting out of the manifesto thing.
So we'll see what
we're talking about. Software tidiness.
And I should mention you're listening to WRLR 98.3 LPFM in
Round Lake Heights, Illinois. You know, the center of everything.
This is it. This is definitely the center of the tech universe, as far as I'm aware.
So, right. And blue herons. There's a really beautiful, not shy blue heron hanging out just out down the street from the station.
Mm-hmm. And the egrets.
The egrets. Yeah.
I love the egrets.
The no regret egrets.
Yes, those are the ones. Yeah, those are the ones.
They did it their way.
Yeah, and there are a lot. This is a really beautiful. It's amazing being really just a handful of miles from the heart of one of the largest metropolises in the country,
right.
And to have access to a natural environment like
right.
we do.
And you must know. Have big hands if you think it's a handful of miles.
It really is. I mean, you can see the skyline once you get a few miles south of here.
Yeah.
We're a little bit yeah. raised.
Yeah.
So
yeah, with binoculars.
Yeah. Oh man, it's nice. I do appreciate driving around the area and having that access. But in a non-natural world, there's the tech world. There's been a lot of stuff going on.
Has there
around here?
Like what, Mike?
Well, let me tell you, Dave. Before we get on with Jay here in a minute, which we're going to be talking to him on his on his cell phone, by the way. One of the big news items that you've probably already heard about is the National Archives and Records Administration, the NARA, lost records detailing former President Bill Clinton's days in the Oval Office. They quote unquote lost these records. They went into some electronic shredder or something, I'm sure. Now I don't know the full details. I've been trying to find out exactly what they think happened, but all that's been described as is that there was a data breach.
So it was a digital? It was a digital loss?
Digital loss. Huh. Yeah, there was a leak, and apparently the NARA
A leak? Digital leak?
A digital leak.
I've never had one of those.
had some analog leaks and some.
Yeah. I had some leak soup.
Yeah. Some leak soup. Well, this was a political leak as well. Anyways, they wound up finding out about the leak, but then not really responding to it very quickly, as far as anybody can tell. And over the last couple of weeks, they finally informed the U.S. CERT, which is an organization that would want to. I can't remember what that stands for. We've got phones ringing here. That's probably the NARA on the phone right now. They're it's Bill. He's saying, "Give me back my files." The NARA though is offering a $50,000 reward for information leading to the retrieval of the missing drive. So if you have this hard drive, if you have this data in your possession, or you know where to get it, give us a call. We'll pass it on for you, or you could just call them yourself and take the $50,000 if that's the way you want to roll with it. Now, of course, in typical fashion, they don't really know what it is that they've lost. I guess nobody's heard of backups anywhere, or Carbonite or anything like that we've talked about here that would assist you in making sure that not only do you not lose your data, but what if something does blow up or get stolen, you'd be able to get it back somehow. They do know, though, that it at very least that it contains the names and social security numbers of a number or a host of White House staff and visitors. It also contains information copied from some 4mm tape cartridges that were used by departing officials. Now, the NARA still has possession of those tapes, so it does know what it's lost as far as that goes. But and you know what? Here I am complaining about the backups. They say they also have a backup hard drive. So who knows? Maybe they've got all the information. In other news, too, there has been a ton of stuff going on with with security issues that I really wanted to mention to people. One was that there was a web attack that was poisoning the Google results. And this has been getting worse and worse over the last week or so. And what it does is that what they've done is that they've figured a way to game the Google search results system to put their links closer to the top on very common searches. Now, the unfortunate thing is that the links that they're giving that are coming up near the top, they're not just trying to make a few bucks off of this. These are malicious links, which will take you to places that are going to put bad stuff all over your hard drive. So yeah, you don't want it. And in fact, I'm in talks with McAfee right now to see if I can get somebody on who will give us more detailed information about these bad search links and to talk to us about how you can protect yourself. I mean, you're going to a highly trusted search site like Google or Yahoo or whatever.
Well, many of the I know AVG offers lots of virus protection software now offers like indications about links.
Yes. And one of our favorite one that I like to recommend to people, of course, is OpenDNS too. Is if you switch, go to OpenDNS.com anytime. There's a link in there that'll show you how to change your DNS settings to use their servers. Now one of our longtime listeners, Eric Jacobson, and he has been using OpenDNS for quite some time, I think since he heard about it here on the air, and has mentioned that he's noticed it being slow lately, though. And I'm not sure why that is. I don't know if they're getting a lot of...
Probably because we've been mentioning it, and billions of people have been hoarding.
It's blowing up. I didn't take into account the tech talk effect. So that must be what has happened here.
The tsunami.
Yeah,
actually, the tech talk tsunami.
Yes. We've locked it down.
The wave. Beware the tech talk wave.
Yeah, we'll ask Jay about the tech talk effect. See how it's affected his blog stats.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but
we don't mean to insult our listeners for listening.
No. It's self-directed. All scorn and...
Thank you for listening. All of you.
Both of you, yeah.
Possibly dozens, yeah.
The possibly dozens. I've got those big hands, so yeah. I've got a handful of listeners who are out there, and I've got big hands. So but where was I? Oh, yeah, OpenDNS. So, I've been meaning to connect back with them because when we originally spoke with David Yulevich, who's the founder and CEO of OpenDNS.
Good pronunciation again, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm all on top.
David Yulevich.
Yeah. Who still is, by the way, which is kind of a surprising thing in and of itself over these last couple of years. They had not yet put in dedicated servers in the Chicagoland area, and I'm wondering if they are in the process of doing that or if they've discarded the idea, they decided they don't need it. Google, of course, has a huge presence here. There's a lot of these major companies. You may think that I'm flipping my bits out to California or Seattle or someplace. It's not really true anymore. You've got a lot of local access, even in smaller municipalities. Google's and these other
keep your bits local.
Yeah. That sounds like a good campaign. Keep your bits local.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what should do? Go ahead.
Before you call Jay. Have you heard about this? I just recently read a little bit about it. There's a new technology that will increase the capacity of DVD drives by 20 times. To 9 terabytes.
Yes. It's something about it's the Aussies again. It's those blasted Australians, isn't it? I saw something about how they're going to put 600 movies onto a DVD.
How can you take – this is news. This is like neutral news. You get ticked off in Australia. Poor Lou. Lou is a loyal listener from Australia. Right away, you're going after the Aussies. What's wrong? That's a good thing.
No,
you're ticked because of the competition?
That's
the competitive
right.
Edge?
Well,
how about
how useful? We need to drive some better international competition.
But how useful is this going to be? How long is it going to take to write a 9 terabyte DVD or look for stuff on it? I mean, it's going
to. And I guess that's the next thing that's going to have to happen is we're going to have faster drives and faster equipment in order to read and write to these to this hard material.
Yeah. What do you mean? Spin faster? You know, if they spin any faster, they're going to launch these things out of the drive. They're going to decapitate people.
You know who this is a good question for? What? This is a good question for Plextor. And in fact, we're going to have Plextor on in probably about 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, that's great.
And more details.
And they should probably have, they'll probably have more information about this research then. But they're talking about getting into market in a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And there's a controversy.
What is that going to do to the Blu-ray stuff then?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, you know, there was a controversy, though.
It's not really a controversy. Well, people, we also talked quite some time ago, and it hasn't materialized yet, about this supposed upcoming advancement in the storage, flash drive storage, being, expanding capacity so much. And they're saying that would be much faster. So the controversy is, do we need this? And, what's the better storage option? But let's, let the marketplace decide, I say.
Yeah.
Get it out there and see what,
Yeah. What I'm real interested in talking to Plextor about, too, is, are they worried about the prevalence of, all of our data going out to the cloud? Are people really using the material the way that they
I don't know. I'm not a clouder.
No.
I look at clouds like I look at adjustable rate mortgages.
That's a
fad. No, I think they have their purpose, But generally, watch out. People, you get, this sounds like a good inexpensive idea to, however, it could cost you a lot in the long run.
I think it's a difference in where you are using it. If you're doing something for your personal use, your home, you and your family or whatever,
exactly.
Then you're using hard disk materials.
Right. Exactly.
You're using some. You're not just throwing it out there.
Right.
There's a lot of situations though, and we've been doing this with the engineering committee here at RLR, is using a lot of cloud computing functionality, putting our bits and bytes out on the cloud so that we don't have
trusting our strangers with our bits.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. How many times have you, never mind.
Well, in my younger days,
exactly.
Not so much now.
On that note, why don't we
Jay, get Jay in here.
Give Jay a call.
Help Jay.
See if he can save us.
Jay, where are you?
Save us, Jay.
He's like our Joe DiMaggio. Yeah, when the line of struggling, bring in Jay.
That's right. Yeah. He can save our bits from fire.
I've actually got tears from laughing.
Now, he is traveling. We may not be able to.
Hello.
Ah,
oh boy.
And we did get through. I was just explaining. I was trying to cover. I was saying, I know he's traveling. He's got the family. We may not be able to get through here. But sure enough, he's made himself available again, Mr. Garman. And we've got Dave here to join us too today.
Hi, Jay.
How you doing, boys?
I missed you last week.
Well, aim straighter. I'm an easy target.
I like that. That's a good response.
Exactly. Very good.
Yeah.
We'll leave it to Jay.
He's got it. He's got it. I was just crowing and tooting my own horn here a few minutes ago about how proud I was that I actually nailed the question last week. We were talking about Terminator. Before we get the answer though, have you seen Terminator Salvation yet? I'd be very curious to hear your take on the new movie.
I have not seen it yet. I was given the option of seeing it or seeing Star Trek a second time, and I chose seeing Star Trek a second time.
Ooh, good choice.
I think that's a reasonable choice. I finally did get a chance to see Star Trek myself, and I think your review of it was dead on. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was quite clever the way that they resolved what I was wondering how they were going to deal with, which was the huge canon of Star Trek work out there and not, having basically, what do? You have to try to fit every new storyline into what people already know and then battle against that. They very cleverly were able to work their way around that.
Indeed. I was very appreciative. They seemed very respectful of the previous canon. They weren't saying, it's almost, they said, all that still happened. We're just telling something different, which is more respectful than most reboots seem to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
An alternate storyline is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And they still had a little bit of, the way I put it on my Twitter post, enough, homage without the fromage. They had Pike, Pike was in there and immediately you
now,
see.
Now, was that the original actor? I wondered about
no,
that. Was that.
No, no, no,
there,
no.
There was.
No, the original actor was Jeffrey Hunter, and he passed away not long after Star Trek aired.
Oh, I didn't realize that, but he looked a lot like the guy from the original pilot.
Actually. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I thought in general the casting was, fantastic. And he grew on me. The guy who played Kirk.
Chris Pine as Kirk? Yes,
yeah, Chris Pine. Pine. The first probably quarter to half of the movie, I wasn't buying into him, and by the end, it was making it for me. He was doing it for me. And I said, okay, I can see the, he's not doing an impression of Shatner, which would be, probably a very wrong and difficult thing to do, and pull off properly, but he's got the swagger and he's got the arrogance and he's got the, he's got what you need to feel that this could indeed be, representative of a younger Kirk.
Yes. Now we need to see, in my opinion, in the next movie, him becoming more of an assured, believable captain. Because, not to give any really significant spoilers, but he basically sort of gets handed the Enterprise without really earning it at the end of the movie. You kind of understand why he becomes captain, but you don't get the sense of, wow, the whole crew is just going to totally buy this and be totally okay with him being the captain. He's still got some proving to do.
Yeah, yeah. That was one leap, near the end there, too. And they kind of put it in place that, yeah, from here on out, he's going to be the captain, which, of course, it kind of makes sense for a movie arc and also, too, for the sequels and so on. But I had the very same thought about that, especially with Spock and the situation there, and just does that make sense in a military, or I guess the Federation would be more of a paramilitary organization, that you would ascend the rank in that manner and then just maintain the rank? And I don't know, but be that as it may, as I think you said far better than I would, it was just a thoroughly enjoyable movie, and well worth your $8 and a bucket of popcorn.
Exactly. That was totally my take, because there's no one I would tell to not see that movie.
Yep. Yeah.
That anyone could enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The nice thing too is that although they talked a lot in the previews about, oh, there's sex and there's this and there's that, it's not in your face enough or obnoxious enough or, over the top. I would have no trouble even bringing, relatively young children to it. If they could handle the ice scenes and things, I think they would be just
right.
Fine.
There's very little there you wouldn't find on a drama on regular TV at 8 o'clock. Quite frankly,
you got it. You got it. That's exactly right. Yeah, I'm excited about seeing that on my HD TV too, when I can pick up some of the smaller features. They really did a great job, I thought, of nailing and bringing back from really a lot of stuff from Khan and then from the original to just little touches, sounds of the Doors. I noticed a lot of the sounds actually were ripped directly from the original series or one or two from Khan as well. So
the communicators, the doors, the hailing, all of that, even to a certain extent, the transporter sounds are all very almost, point for point from the original show. So
yeah.
that I felt very reassured by.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. And, so anyways, we should move over though from the Star Trek, which we have seen, to Terminator, which we have not yet. I have not seen it either. My wife and I are debating whether to see that or Wolverine this weekend, when we get our date night. I'm leaning towards Terminator. She's, She's, of course, leaning us towards Hugh Jackman leaping out of a bathtub. So for some reason, that seems more interesting to her.
Well, I have not seen Terminator. Having seen Wolverine, I definitely would not pay full theater price to see Wolverine. It is not any great work of cinematic art by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, and from what I've heard, too, and I'm not a huge, huge X-Men, fanboy on this stuff, but the previews alone really tweaked me, and I'm like, that's not right. That's not how it happened. Come on, you know. So I think I would be just at least briefly and slightly offended by the entire movie anyway. So I think I may replay your words for my wife and convince her we need to do Terminator.
Oh, they're pull in your favors if you can.
But in the original Terminator, as we were discussing last week, there was an author whose name was mentioned or put in the credits at the end, even though he had no actual contribution to the script, to the plot, or anything else. And I got some fantastic answers from Customer Jones, who actually sent me videos and links. I mean, the whole thing. In fact, if you hadn't been here, Jay, I could have covered the whole thing easily. Now, not with the same level of expertise.
And not to mention Jay's wit.
And wit.
Jay has got a superior mega wit.
But thanks to Customer Jones, I had the whole thing backed up. But why don't you tell us exactly who it was and maybe a little bit of the story as to why this would have happened?
Well, the author who got sort of a retroactive credit on the original Terminator is Harlan Ellison, who, quite frankly, he has a new documentary about his career coming out called Dreams with Sharp Teeth, which is basically him for 2 hours screaming about all the people that made him angry in his 50-year career. He's notably combative, and he didn't go so far as to sue. I believe it was Orion Pictures or Lightstorm Entertainment that produced Terminator for James Cameron. And people don't remember, Terminator was basically an indie flick. They made that for $4 million. It was very low budget. It was very low key in '84 when they made it. So it was a big deal. They really couldn't take being sued, even though it was a very successful movie. He basically said, you stole most of these ideas from me. Mm-hmm. And for his evidence were 2 Outer Limits episodes he wrote in 1964. One was called Demon with a Glass Hand, and the other was called Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And both involved heroes from 1,000 years in the future coming back in time to prevent an invasion and a Holocaust. And in one case, one got adopted by a family, and the other one, had to defend a family. And it was very, very time travel paradox, warrior from the future. Some of the overarching themes were very, very similar. And visually, in, I believe, Soldier, the main character is thrown back in time by a sky-based laser weapon. If you remember from the opening sequences of Terminator, part of them were the guys were running, and the flying Terminators were shooting laser beams at the guys as they ran through wreckage. There was some visual similarity there. So I believe it was Lauren Shuler Donner, who would go on to produce an X-Men, if I'm remembering this correctly, basically said, we'll put your name on this to make you go away.
Yeah,
we'll put it says acknowledge it to the works of Harlan Ellison.
Yeah, and I mean it's so tough, you know, for Ellison. I mean, I've seen some of the clips, like I said, that were sent, and Ellison pleading his case on this. And yeah, there is similarity, but you know, the whole time travel thing is such an important meme in fiction in general. I mean, going back to H.G. Wells, and then more recently, you've got, I mean, Werner Vinge is probably one of the more well-known guys. It's played with it. Ray Bradbury, all these. It's like,
you can't really own that. No, you can't say I own the notion of time travel. And he tried this again, by the way, because going back to Star Trek, there was a rumor going around that the Guardian of Forever, which was the big time travel stone arch from City on the Edge of Forever, which was the Star Trek episode he wrote in the original series that won a Hugo.
Oh, yes.
They were going to use that as the time travel mechanism in this new reboot. And his response was, well, then you'll have to pay me. To which everyone else's response is, you did that as work for hire. Paramount owns that. Even if you came up with it, they don't owe you any money.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's just sort of, you know, I own everything that's even remotely like anything I've ever written. It's sort of his stance. You know, if you have a story with verbs in it, you owe me money. I invented verbs.
Exactly. I use the letter E more than any other letter in my fiction. So that's mine.
although to James Cameron's credit, he's sort of come out and said, I'm a huge Harlan Ellison fan. I have no trouble putting his name on this work. And in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the TV series that's just been canceled, sort of as a Terminator prequel.
Just going to say,
a character called FBI agent Ellison as an homage to Ellison. And
yes.
Of course, the Summer Glau Terminator is called Cameron as an homage to James Cameron. So,
I've never made that. I made the Ellison connection, but I'd never picked up on the Cameron. That one's obvious.
She's a girl.
Yeah. That must. I'll take that as a good reason for why I'm such an idiot. I don't know.
To me, and every time I see Summer Glau, I think there's River from Firefly. That's all I think of. I don't do any other math beyond that. That's
usually my second thought.
That's the first thought I have that I can say on the radio.
Okay, there you go. All right. I always think of her recently now too, more from the 4400, because I loved the 4400 and she was in that as well. And yet another show that unfortunately was canceled prior to its end. Which a lot of the decent shows I've heard are having some struggles. Life may be canceled as well, which I love. And I haven't heard about the possibility of the continuance of Fringe either, which is another show that I've really gotten into.
Fringe has been picked up last I heard.
It has, okay.
But the thing about all the pickups for all the great geek shows, based on the information I've seen, is they're all 13-episode orders. They're not a full 22 episodes. Because 13 episodes is the mid-break, right, basically right before the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and then they can do a re-pickup of 9 more, and that's sort of a... We're not sure. We're going to bring you back. We might bring you back after the Super Bowl. We don't know. We got to decide. So.
Wow. Now, that'd be, instead of betting on the Super Bowl, we should be betting on the betting on who's going to get picked up again. I think that might be a more interesting bet this year. Well, we should probably move on here and find out what people should be thinking about for next week. And I want to remind people, too, that just because Customer Jones tends to send in the answers doesn't mean that nobody else can. If you send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm, we pretty frequently get some good stuff here that we like to toss out. And I do.
Great stuff.
I do give priority to those people that are responsive, although lately I've been trying to just pull people from the mailing list, which you can get to the mailing list at techtalk.wrlr.fm, or send me an email, I'll throw you on it, whatever you want to do. But what should people be thinking about for next week?
Well, I'm in a space program mood because, you know, some of the last space shuttle missions are going on right now with the Hubble repair and all of that, and the question, whenever I think space program, one of the first things I think of is Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in pretty much every history book you could ever look at about the first man in space, but he's not in aviation record books for space travel. Because on his first flight into space, he did something that prevented him from qualifying for any international aviation and aerospace records. Why didn't Yuri Gagarin qualify for any aviation records, even though he was the first man in space during his first space?
Wow. Flight? Interesting. I'm stumped on this one. I don't have the slightest idea. I'm looking at Dave. Looks confused
question.
As well. That is a great question.
Just like they all are, Jay. You're just amazing.
Dave's been trying to live up to the second part of his job description this week more, which is the stroking the host and
guest
egos.
Yeah.
So.
but you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thanks. No, but Jay, I'm genuinely in awe of this. You know, of the stuff you come up with. It's amazing.
Yeah, this is a good one. So Yuri Gagarin was not considered. Okay, I think this is fantastic. I will put the question. We will put the question to our listeners and hope that we get some good answers. I'm going to let you go, Jay, and enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. I hope that it's as beautiful. I know you're traveling today. I hope it's as beautiful where you are as it is here, because it is absolutely perfect today.
Well, on the travel day, it's looking great. It's supposed to rain the rest of the weekend where I'm going. So, you know, naturally, it'll be great while I'm in the car, and once I get there, it'll be terrible. So.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that, Jay.
That's too bad. Keep the windows open, anyways. And hey, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for letting us connect with you, even though you're on the move.
Glad to do it. Take care, fellas.
Take care, Jay.
All right, thanks, Jay.
Man, he's just an astounding guy.
Just fantastic. I've got it rattling around in my head, and I've got some ideas, and I'll wait for Customer Jones to let me know what the answer is.
Our chief research.
I have to admit, sometimes I do not read her emails for several days because I don't want to have the surprise
ruined
for me. On that note, what we're going to do here is stay tuned. Don't go away. Don't touch that dial. We will be right back. You're listening to Tech Talk. And we are on...
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Marcus Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advanced tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
Listen to the sounds, the coolest sounds around on Musical Memories.
You'll hear your favorite tune.
From noon till 2 o'clock, you'll hear the station rock. On Musical Memories
on Monday afternoon.
So take a break and linger for just a while at 98.3 on your dials with Alan Berg.
Since Comcast came into the Lake McHenry County area as the primary source for cable TV, they have shown themselves to be one of the most community-minded companies anywhere. They graciously have provided our studio facilities with cable TV services so that we may monitor nationwide news, and with CHSI high-speed internet service so that we may stream our broadcast signal via the web to increase our coverage area to include a global audience. For more information on their basic cable, digital cable, or high-speed internet services, their website is www.comcast.com.
All the hits.
All the hits.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis.
And Zane Adams inviting you to join us every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock as we listen to all the hits, the greatest rock and roll hits of three decades.
The 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we remember Chicagoland's two great top 40 radio stations that brought you all those hits. The Big 89 WLS.
And Big 10 Super CFL.
Saturday mornings, 11 o'clock, it's all the hits right here, 98.3 WRLR.
All the hits.
All the hits.
And all the hits is going to be on pretty much right after us here. And
pretty much?
Yeah, I think exactly much. Exactly much right after us.
From 11 to 2.
Yes.
Jeff Davis, Zane Adams.
Is Zane going to be here today?
Kicking it out. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, Jeff is here today, though. It is a live show, so you'll want to stay tuned. You know, you can listen to us, I want to say, live and worldwide. Doesn't matter whether you're local in the area or if you're remote, go to WRLR.fm,
yep.
And all of our shows are right there. You can also go to justin.tv/WRLR, and
yep.
Sometimes that works.
Yep.
Hey, let me play this.
It's been working lately.
Yes, it has.
It took a hiatus though for a while there.
It wasn't. It wasn't doing great for quite some time.
Yeah.
But I think we've got it back. We keep debating whether to use a different service or not. Justin TV has been.
I'm wondering about redundancy. We probably need another box to do that though. But.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we could. I guess. Yeah. You know,
we might choke the bandwidth a little more.
Somewhere else all that.
Yeah.
I'm
sure our listeners are fascinated.
Let me play something that they might actually be interested in. This is coming to us from MSNBC, and I'm going to play just the first little bit of it.
And now to the dangers of distracted drivers and what to do about them. After a year of tragic accidents and casualties involving mass transit drivers, the Secretary of Transportation tells NBC News Congress needs to act. He wants a law that would ban them from even carrying a mobile device on the job. NBC's Tom Costello wrote.
So, yeah, even carrying a mobile device on the job. I mean, they want to legalize.
That's how else are you going to stop it?
I mean, it's kind of, and the reason why I played this for you is because there's a lot of talk, and California also has got some ideas of statewide laws, and we keep getting more and more laws to say you can't do this thing, and you can't do that thing, and you can't do this other thing, and you know, pretty soon they're gonna, you know, ban burritos in the passenger seat, and you know, at some point it has to stop.
They should ban burritos in the passenger seat.
And in fact, statistically,
imagine the airbag launching one of those.
They actually ran. Ran statistics on what are the most frequent causes of accidents.
Yeah.
Still not cell phones or anything else. It is actually eating, and the food that was most likely to cause accidents were burritos. Tacos, I think it was.
I've had some killer tacos. I could see where that could happen. You know, it's probably a little jalapenos and salsa verde.
I think the supposition was that it's a messy food to eat, especially if you only have one hand.
Yeah.
And so you're driving and spinning around.
So
and
we're going to have like certified safe
ground
driving
beef is
food.
Flying all over.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. Is that, you know, at what point do you just say, you know what?
I did an emergency maneuver with a gyro in my hand one time. Boy, that was a disaster. It took a long time to clean the car. Tzatziki sauce.
I believe it. We got Rick concerned about the trash in the studio here, which means that Dave and I are going to have to leave soon.
Yeah. I've recently gotten a BlackBerry in the last 6 months or so, and what they have on there is traffic. They have traffic2go.com. I think it's I can't remember who I use right now, but that's a tremendous aid. And it's not terrible, you know, these are very bare bone pages and such like that. And it's a tremendous aid to get, and it's much more accurate than the local radio broadcast. Yeah.
And I use the same thing as well. I don't have it on my Trio. There may be a way to get it. I haven't found out, but I go to maps.google.com and you can click now a button that says traffic. And so you look at your local area and check out your route and see what the traffic is like. Right. I do that right before I leave work because there's two distinct routes I can take home.
But that would be tragic. And I work in the transportation industry. And I'm guessing I would be one of those that could possibly be banned. However, when you've got train wrecks, because people are texting.
Train wrecks, bus accidents, trolley incidents. I mean, the whole mess. And the statistics were that 25% of all fatal accidents are caused by distracted drivers. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is not so much to highlight that, yes, people are driving distracted, but that there doesn't necessarily need to be a law to say you specifically can't use a Trio 700WX while you're taking a left-hand turn on Sundays. Yeah. You know, it should just be don't be an idiot. You know, keep your hands on the wheel and drive appropriately, you know, and for any reason. And it should be the police discretion to say, you know, look, the guy's got a taco in his hand, you know, he's reading a magazine while he's driving,
but
under unsafe conditions,
right?
Throw him in jail.
But not every accident, just because somebody's eating doesn't mean every accident, you know, every fatal accident is caused by somebody eating when the accident occurred.
And that's why it should be up to police discretion is to say, you know, look, I see this guy flying down the highway at 85 miles an hour and he's got his Slurpee in one hand and his reheated burrito in the other, and he's driving, steering with his knees,
and he's texting his girlfriend.
And he's
sexting his girlfriend.
Oh, you know.
Well, there was a recent there was a recent accident locally here in Wakanda where a nice lady was riding her motorcycle, and I'm a motorcyclist, so this is hits home for me. She was rear-ended at a red light by somebody that was a lady that was doing her nails. And it was a fatal injury, you know. Then so.
And she died.
Yeah,
too.
Wow. So, I don't know where this fits into that.
Yeah, again, you know, it should be kind of like, I think it should be similar to the hate crime laws, where you say, you know, it's bad enough that you beat somebody up, and that's your standard assault charge.
Right.
But if they can assign it also to a hate crime, then your sentence is increased, and the punishment is I don't know what the calculation is, but it's made worse. And with the and with these, it should be the same thing. Is to say, you know what, you know, your vehicular manslaughter
plus another charge,
plus the other charge of
distracted driving,
being an idiot.
But well, and there's people, I've seen people that are very competent at talking on the phone and driving. I've seen other people that get in the third lane or fourth lane, and all of a sudden the conversation gets heated and they're going 35 miles an hour or some such.
Yeah, or you see them swerving back and forth all over the place. That's what I see the most often is people just swerving all over the place.
Right.
Then you catch up to them and you can behind them and you can see that they're texting away. Now, what I'm going to do, though, next week, I'm not going to talk about it this week because we do not have the time, but next week I'm going to share with you a host of ways that you can save yourself from texting disaster and from some email disasters as well.
Oh, I've got to hear that.
Pretty neat stuff.
Who wants that to happen to them?
Yeah, I mean, and every major service has got some way that you can delay or retract some messages. Yeah, it's basically, it works on the delay system. And we'll share how all these all different ones work. But
idea.
If you look for them, you can.
Especially if you're in business or you have multiple girlfriends.
yeah.
Or boyfriends.
Or some ex-girlfriends and you're out having a few with the boys. You might want to double think some of that talk, too. You know what we should do, though, of course, is I'm struggling to find the things that I need to find here. What is the
we need a nap for that.
I do need a nap for that. Here we go.
The cool sights of the week.
Yeah, there we go. I'm like, why is this so loud? What's good? I
had the wrong computer.
I'm having all sorts of good problems today. so what is this?
How many computers are in this room?
There's four lined up in front of me.
Yeah, there you go.
Three separate keyboards. Yeah. Three mice. Yeah. Four mice. I don't even understand
why you're confused.
I don't even know what's
good thing you're not driving a train.
Yeah.
Bus or a plane.
Don't text and talk. Text and DJ.
All right, let's have that.
This is turning into a train wreck.
Here come the Cub Scouts.
And we got the Cub Scouts here today too. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, but let's get into some cool sights of the week. Now I got a couple of different ones, and we were talking about movies earlier. This is awesome. My wife, I told her I was going to tell this story, and she punched me, and I said, you know what, I still got to tell it. I'm going to get punched again. We went and saw Kill Bill. This is several years ago, and when this is out in the theaters, we're watching the
great movie.
We're watching the fantastic movie. Now, I don't know if you remember, but at the end of it, she's looking at her list, and she's got like two more people to go before she gets to Bill. And then at the end of the list, it says Kill Bill. And then moves on. My wife hops out of her chair, and this is within minutes of the end of the movie, hops out of her chair and runs off to go to the women's room, and comes back. 4 minutes, 5 minutes later, after the exciting conclusion where you find out that the baby survived and all this other stuff, sorry for the spoilers, anybody, and all this, and that Bill knows where she's at and everything else, comes back in to see the credits and is like, what the heck happened? How did this occur? And I'm like, well, you know that it was Kill Bill 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I thought she's got a bunch of people left to kill. I can leave for a couple minutes.
Your wife's taste of movie sounds wonderful, by the way. I mean, she'll go for the geek stuff.
She is a trooper.
And there's a certain amount of violence in Kill Bill that would put a lot of women off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but it was very artistic. No, she's a trooper.
She's a gamer.
She is. Yeah. She loves it. She grew up on Star Trek in her home and had all the action figures.
Melted her brain. Oh, really? Action figures.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if she personally.
No wonder you
owned
guys
them,
got together.
But her and don't step on don't imply that because she's a lady that she does not know her Star Trek.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
She's got her bones.
I'm sure.
She's got her Star Trek bones.
She knows all about bones.
And she knows all about bones.
And she knows he's not a bricklayer.
Yes, indeed, she does. or a physicist. At any rate, how do you resolve this? It's the same thing, you know. We just went to see Star Trek, and I could see her bouncing in her seat a little bit. We had a big Coke and stuff before we got in there, and it's like how do you know when to leave? Well, the cool site of the week this week is going to answer that question for you.
Oh.
It is called, aptly enough, runpee.com.
Ah.
And it's great. Yeah. You can bring up any current movie. And
so can you get this on your phone or whatever?
You can get it on your phone as long as you've got a web. It's not only is it specifically designed for mobile, but I looked it up. It does look okay. You can figure it out on most phones. Your iPhone will look great on. What you do is look at the movie, and it'll show you between 1 to 5 points where you can actually get up and go and have at least a 3-minute break where nothing really major and serious is occurring. The other thing that they've got is I don't know what is.
Thanks for not getting that on the microphone.
Yeah, I was get that one out the other direction. The other thing that they've got is that once you've come back and you're like, oh man, you know, they said I wasn't gonna miss anything. I don't know what the heck's going on. They don't want to spoil things for you. They've got your movie going interest in heart.
Yes.
But you can click a button to clear the information to tell you what it is exactly that you missed when you left. And it gives a short synopsis of the 3 minutes that it would have taken you to hop up and run like
that. So theoretically, you could be very, what do they call it when you're well-read, if you've read a lot of books? I don't know when you go see a lot of all the latest movies, what you're considered, what the word would be, but you could like fake that. You could go to the site, spend 20 minutes, and pretend like you've seen all the latest movies when you go to a party.
You could do that. Yeah. You could absolutely do that too. There might be better or easier ways to do that, but this would certainly resolve that desire for you as well. So runpee.com.
Cliff notes for interactive cliff notes for movies.
That's right. Yeah. Now I've got enough time here, I believe, because Jeff is showing the Cub Scouts.
Less than 2 minutes.
We've got a few minutes. I want to hit three great cool sites for Dave, shake his head.
I'm okay, maybe I'm I leaving. Should.
Okay,
I'll be out in the hall. I'll
okay,
be out with the
all right,
Cubs.
All right. I'll cut it down. Actually, I had four, but I'm going to cut it down to two.
There you go.
We'll do two. Yeah. I'll follow this up next week with a follow up on these. Now, for people that have their own business, starting their own business, doing things like that, one thing that you run into still, even today, believe it or not, is people that want to fax things all over the place.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And how many of us have a fax machine anymore?
That's a good point.
You don't even have a landline, people. I mean, it's really tough. What are you going to do? How do you resolve this issue?
I bet there's a website that'll help with this.
There are actually. I was able to find two. You need to combine two in order to get the full the full effect of being able to send
get full
and
service
receive
fax.
Faxes. Yes, exactly.
One sends, one receives.
That's exactly it. Now, these
one's
are
one's RX, one's
these
TX.
These are not
whatever,
typically. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that what
transmit
was?
And yeah, and receive it to TX and RX. Yeah, absolutely. And your ACK and anyway, it was NAC. Okay, well, what we've got though is in order to send now, or in order to receive, which is probably the most important one, because most people can at least receive emails of PDFs and you can scan it and you can do whatever. But in order to receive is really tough. And if you look online, there's not a lot of easy places to find where a free fax receipt service is. I was able to find one because I needed this service.
You did the
desperately.
Research.
I did the research.
So we don't
I
have
found
to.
One. It's not well known. You got to hunt for it. I did the hunting.
They better watch out for that Tech Talk tsunami effect.
Yeah. It's under efax.com, but it's efax.com/free-fax. And I'm going to put the link up. I'm going to make it available. I will let you know. So if you didn't write it down here, I'll put it up there. You'll be able to get it. And you have to go through that link. It's not publicized on the efax.com main website. Everything else that they have is all paid services. You can get free faxing to a phone number. Now, you won't be able to pick your number. It's going to be somewhere in St. Louis or someplace else. But so it won't be a local number. But for the amount of faxing people do anymore, you know,
yeah,
I say screw them. Forget it. Make them send a long distance thing. Maybe it'll serve them right.
Who pays for long distance anymore?
Well, that's a good point too.
Yeah, it tends to be bundled and such.
So receiving or sending? How do you send a fax now? If you have to send a fax, this one's even easier. Faxzero.com.
Yes.
Shoot it out. Get it going. bang, it'll run. You got to send an email to it and things like that, but there's no charge. The only thing they do is on the very front cover page, they have an ad. And it's really not, it's not obnoxious. And it gets your message out. So if you need to send and receive faxes, don't want to buy a fax machine, don't want to go to Kinko's, don't want to pay anything.
Don't want to get out of your chair.
Fax, don't want to get out of your chair. That's what usually does it for me. It's the inconvenience factor more than anything else. Faxzero.com. Combine that with an e-fax, free fax, and you are covered.
Thanks for listening, gang.
Thank you so much.
We love you.
We do. We do. And thanks. You got to stick around and catch up with
Jeff Davis.
All the hits. And he's going to have some cubbies on here
this
week, too.
Some guests. Some really cool guests.
Absolutely. I'm going to leave you. The podcast only song of the day is going to be What You Doing by NASA. But I'm not prepared to play that over the air. I am going to play you Electro Ain't Electro. So
you have a preview.
Exactly. So listen for the podcast only song, but I'm leaving you with Electro Ain't Electro, and take care. Have a great week, everyone.
See you next week.
Like this.